Romans chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses in the beginning of the chapter and then drop down into verse number 18 and read the rest of the chapter. Would you stand with me, please, if you're able, in reference to the Word of God? The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he says, "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt." Verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Go down in verse number 18, is speaking of Abraham, who against hope, he believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, "So shall thy seed be." And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Here's the biggest word in the text, if. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Here's my text verse. Who was delivered for our offenses. We've been singing a lot about Calvary this morning. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing special about Easter without Calvary. And there's nothing special about Calvary without Easter. You got to have them both. Amen. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sin according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture." You could ask the average churchgoer this Easter Sunday, "What is the gospel?" And they couldn't answer that question. But the gospel, beloved, is how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Now look at this. Who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised again for our justification. That's where we're going this morning. You can be seated. Pray with us. Father, thank you today for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank you, God, for the sweet spirit. I pray, Lord, that right now I know folks have got plans for the rest of the day. But help us to realize, our Father, that, Lord, the most important thing in our lives right now is what you're saying to us from the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to the hearts of every individual today. Help us, our Father. Help us to be a thankful people. Lord, I pray that if there's one here that does not know you and the free pardon of sin, you would help them to understand that they're a needy people. Lord, we need you. Help us, we pray, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to title the message today from the Scripture, "Jesus was raised again for our justification." Jesus was raised again for our justification. I've been doing a little bit of research and a little bit of study about justification. And I know that I've actually said this, and I've heard it said a lot. Justification, or being justified, it leaves a person just as if they had never sinned. But I want to tell you, there's more to it than that. There's more to it than that little definition. It kind of rhymes and it rings a little bit. It's easy to remember, just as if I'd never sinned. Let me ask you this. Is there anybody here that can say, just as if I kept the whole law, just as if I lived a perfect life? Not a one. Justification, beloved, not only involves the forgiveness of sin, but it also involves the imputation of God's righteousness. God takes the sin off of our account and puts it on His account, and takes the righteousness from His account and puts that on our account. I'm not an accountant, but I know that's a pretty good deal. Amen. Whenever the Lord forgives us of our sin. And now when He sees us as His Son. He sees us perfected through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you three things that God spoke to my heart about out of this chapter today. I want to look at the Father of this justification by faith. I want to say this morning. I will say it without apology. We owe a lot to the Jewish people. I'm afraid that in this country we live in, beloved, the anti-Semitics are rising up everywhere. But I'm going to tell you something right now. If this country ever turns our back on that nation that God said was the apple of His eye, we're going to be in trouble. And Paul in the scripture right here is telling us about our father Abraham. Amen. I want us to look at that and look at several things about Abraham in this chapter. Number one, Abraham was promised. He got a promise from God. Guess what? We have a book that's full of promises from God. This book, listen, if you're here lost this morning, this book said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It said something like this, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. No, hope so, maybe so, think so. But God said you can know, amen, that you have eternal life. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. Amen. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I like the song, Brother Dale, that said, "Whosoever surely meaneth me." Glory to God, there was a day in my life when I understood that I was a whosoever, and I could call on the Lord, and He would forgive me of my sin. Amen. What a blessing. Abraham was promised. In verse number 13, it talks about for the promise. In verse number 14, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect." Oh, beloved, listen, look at verse 16. The Word of God said, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed." You're going to pick up on that in this chapter when it's talking about all the seed. It's not just talking about Jews. It's talking about Jews and Gentiles alike. Amen. You say, "Pastor, how did Abraham get in?" I'll tell you how he got in. He believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. How'd you get in? You believe God. And it was counted. You say, "Pastor, what would a person have to believe?" You'd have to believe that you're a sinner, just like he said we are. Every one of us has sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a word that's keeping multitudes from knowing Christ. And that word is P-R-I-D-E. Pride. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, your pride is not worth dying and going to hell over. It's not worth it. Amen. Oh, that night the devil told me they'll throw you out of here. They'll laugh at you. You'll never be welcomed in this church again. But I tell you, that night I saw myself going to hell without God, separated for all eternity. I didn't care what they said. I didn't care if they threw me out. Amen. I didn't care. I ran to Jesus and I found out something that night. God had already said the devil's a liar. They wasn't nobody laughing. They were weeping. They were rejoicing because someone was born again. Amen. Not only is there rejoicing in the church, but there's rejoicing in heaven. Every time somebody's born again, every time somebody's saved by the grace of God, Abraham was promised. But then notice this. You can know the promises of God. I quoted just a few of them a while ago. One of them, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The Bible is full of promises. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. It's full of promises. But Abraham was not only promised. Let me ask you something. How many of y'all are parents? How many of y'all are your parents? How many's ever had a youngin' where you told a youngin' you'd do something? Amen. And something that, you know, everything was jumbled up in the schedule and you just couldn't see how you could fit it in. And that youngin' looked up at you and said, but Daddy, you promised. How many knows, amen? There's something else right there, amen? Well, I got a daddy in heaven. And glory to God, he ain't never broke a promise, amen? But Abraham was not only promised, he was persuaded. Notice what the Word of God said. The Bible said, who against hope believed in hope. What do you mean? God had told him he'd go have a baby. That his seed was going to be the one. Amen? Listen, Abraham's 100 years old. That's pretty old to have a baby. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. I know why the children come before the grandchildren. Amen. I can't keep up with the grandchildren. Say amen. But I'm going to tell you this, beloved. Listen, he was persuaded. He against hope believed in hope. God said it. He said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but you're going to do it. Amen. And it wasn't long, and here come Isaac. Amen. Abraham tried his own way of working things out, and that didn't work out too good. But who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. The Bible said, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And watch this. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. She's about 90. How'd you ladies that's 90 years old like to get up in the morning and find out you're going to have a baby? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. Amen. Some of you ain't even close to 90 and you're already shaking your head. Been there, done that. Amen. But you know what Sarah did? She had a baby just like God said. She was going to have it. Isaac was the seed of promise. But watch this. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He's 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised. You know why I lay down at night and I don't worry about going to hell? Because I'm fully persuaded that what God has promised, he's able to perform. I don't lay down at night and say, I wonder if I maybe thought something today that I ain't confessed it yet. That's a horrible way to live. Amen. Perfect love casteth out fear. I love my Heavenly Father and he loves me. And he's made me some promises and I'm persuaded. Listen, if people say, well, do you believe that old once in grace, always in grace? Yeah, you know what that is. Amen. The Bible don't ever say that. But I'll tell you what it does say. I give unto them, Jesus said this, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You know what? I'm persuaded that that's the truth. Amen. I can rest in the promises of God. Amen. Thank God, beloved. Listen, Abraham was promised, but Abraham was persuaded, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was imputed to him. It was put on his account for righteousness. If you study Romans chapter 4, it's a wonderful study. I've been through it and through it and through it and through it in the last few days, looking at it over and over and over. But if you study it, there's something comes out in Romans chapter 4. We find that this is before the law. That's what comes out, amen? A lot of people say, well, oh, Abraham, he must have kept the law. No, the law hadn't even come yet. The law hadn't even come yet. You'll have to go home and study that. I ain't got time to go into all that this morning. But I'm telling you, the law wasn't even on the scene yet. But Abraham believed God. And beloved, listen, God was saying, hey, this way to heaven's going to be a faith way. This way to heaven's going to be a grace way. This way to heaven's not going to be a works way. It's going to be a grace way. You're going to go by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. Listen, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, well, why does James say that Abraham was justified by works? I'll tell you why. Because being justified in the eyes of God and being justified in the eyes of men are two absolutely, totally different things. That brings me to the last thing. Abraham was perfected. I'm not going to take the time to read it, but you can go into Hebrews chapter number 11. And that word perfect in the Bible is talking about a maturity. His faith was mature. Amen. In the Lord. And what we find out over Hebrews chapter number 11, we find out that Abraham was looking for a city. He understood that this world was not his home. Do you understand that today? You're not going to be here forever, but you are going to be somewhere forever. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the fact that I'm not going to be here forever. I'm excited about the fact that my Lord went to prepare a place for me. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where you I am, there you may be also. This mature faith looks for a city. The Bible said, they that declare such things, they declare plainly that they're pilgrims and strangers on the earth. We get ready to leave this Easter Sunday. We might all just look at each other and say, hello, pilgrim. Amen. Hello, pilgrim. Amen. That is, if you're saved. If you're saved, you realize, beloved, this world's not your home. Amen. We're just a passing through. Thank God our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Abraham was promised. Abraham was persuaded. Abraham was perfected. And then his faith is matured. Not only is he looking for a city, not only is he living for the Savior, but if you go to Hebrews 11, chapter number 11 and verse 17 through 19, Abraham offers up his son. I want you to think about that for just a moment. Think about that. Brother Chris, you've only got one son. I've only got one son. I got three daughters. Charity's the meanest of all of them. But, amen. Yeah, I was threatened this morning with Charity. I was told, you want to get your picture taken or do you want me to go get Charity? I said, take my picture. Amen. Just get it over with. Take my picture. Amen. But I cannot imagine. My son came over yesterday. And thank you for praying for him. He's doing well. And he's made a decision, and I believe God is honoring that decision in his health, and he's doing well. And I thank the Lord for that. But I cannot imagine having a knife raised up and ready to drop it into the chest of my only son. But Abraham did that. You want to know why? Turn with me there. We need to look at that just a minute. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm going to show you something here. This, beloved, is important. The father of justification by faith is Abraham. Look what the Bible said here in verse number 17 of Hebrews 11. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, he was tested. And by the way, let me just stop and say this. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. Did you hear what I said? We're all going to face some tests in our life. But if you have genuine Bible faith, it will stand the test. God told Abraham to take his son, his only son, and offer him up. The Bible said when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and when he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Watch this. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead
whence also he received him in a like figure. You say, Pastor, what is that talking about? Did Abraham really intend to put that knife in the chest of his son? Yes, he did. God told him to offer up his son. He was going to obey the Lord. I'm telling you, beloved, listen. You say, well, Pastor, that takes some kind of faith. Yeah, he had more faith than that. He had more faith that if his son is laying there dead, that's okay. My God's going to raise him up. That's the faith that Abraham had. He's going to raise him up. Why? Because he believed the promise that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He understood something you and I need to understand today. God cannot lie. He's never lied, he never will, and he cannot lie. What God hath promised, Abraham said, he's able to perform. I don't know about you today, but I thank God for the Father of justification by faith. I want you to listen to this statement A.W. Tozer made before I go on. We're talking about Abraham. We're talking about justified by faith before God. Justified by works before men. Listen to what A.W. Tozer said. I like it. He said, the Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience. There's all kinds of people running around in Kingsport. I'm saved, and there's not one ounce of evidence in their life. I like what A.W. said. He said, the Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. That's a good statement. The two are opposite sides of the same coin. I quoted some scripture a while ago. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. Everybody likes that. Not of works, lest any man should boast. What about verse 10? For with his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Honey, God already decided when a man gets saved, he ought to get up from there and go serve the Lord. Amen? And that's not a burden. That's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to serve the Lord this day and hour that we live. We're looking at the father of the justification by faith. That's Abraham. Let's look secondly at the foundation of justification by faith. That's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Other foundation, the Apostle Paul said, can no man lay than that's laid, and that's the Lord, Jesus Christ. Let me say this to you today. I talked to a gentleman that was up in years. It's been several years ago. Has a big fine house up on the hill. I talked to him and I asked him this question. I said, if you came up here and they were building your house and they had the cinder blocks laid up here, they were about 9 or 10 feet off the ground, the cinder blocks in the basement area. I said, they had them cinder blocks laid up and you looked down in the ditch and I said, there was sand in the ditch. I said, what would you do? You know what he said? He didn't hesitate. He said, I'd make them tear it down. I looked at that man and I said, until you allow the Lord to tear down this 80-some years of your life and realize you've been building on the sand. Until you get off the sand and get over on the rock, amen, and build on the solid foundation, I'm telling you, beloved, listen, the rock, if you're building on the rock, it'll stand when the storms come. The house will stand. But if you're building on the sand, it'll fall when the storms come. The foundation of justification by faith is Jesus Christ the Lord. Let me give you three things quickly here. The experience of faith in Christ. Look at chapter 4, verse number 5 in the book of Romans. Chapter 4, verse number 5. Notice this here. The Bible said, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. One of the first things you'll ever have to do to be saved is realize how ungodly you are. Oh, but preacher, I'm a pretty good fella. I like Rusty's testimony when he heard him say in that tent meeting about good old boys. I'm a good old boy. I'm a good old girl. I'm going to tell you something right now. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said all of our righteousness is as a filthy rags. Amen? You know what you do with a filthy rag? You discard it. Amen? But God said here, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith
is counted for righteousness. There needs to be an experience of faith in Christ. We talked a while ago about Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There needs to not only be an experience. Let me just say this to you. I can't do it here. Jackson, come up here and help me real quick. Oh, my goodness, that probably weighs, probably about 20 pounds. Stand right here, bend over. Face the crowd, face the crowd. Now bend over 90 degrees here. I'm going to lay this on your shoulder. You ready? I believe you can handle it, son. What do you think? Can you handle it?
Yeah,
what about now? I'm leaning on it. Let me tell you something about the weight of sin. It's heavy. You say, oh, it ain't heavy. When the Holy Ghost comes along, it'll be heavy. I'm going to tell you what he'll do. He'll throw the book at you. You won't be saying, well, I told mama a little lie. You'll be realizing, beloved, listen, if a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. That's what the Spirit of God does when he convicts us of our sin. But let me ask you a question, Jackson. Can you tell there's something there that wasn't there a while ago? Amen. You think you could tell if it was gone? You think you could? Okay. Well, let me preach about 30 minutes and we'll see if we can get it gone, okay? Amen. I want you to stand up and tell them it's gone, when it's gone. I need about 25 more teenagers as enthusiastic as Jackson is. It's gone. But the main thing is, and there's even a good point in this, it's not about emotions. But I'll tell you what, if you ever put your faith in Christ, you'll know something's gone. You'll know something. There's a load. Sin is a load. Sin is a weight. Sin is heavy. And you'll know it's gone. And there'll be another thing here. The Word of God teaches us here that in this experience of faith in Christ, there's going to be some evidence of faith in Christ. You say, Pastor, what would the evidence be? Look over here in chapter number 5 for just a minute. The Word of God said here in chapter number 5, it said, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you have peace? Do you have peace? Peace. Do you know peace can't be bought? Peace can't be earned? In order to have peace, a person has to place their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not counting on their self to go to heaven. They're not counting on mama to go to heaven. They're not counting on daddy to go to heaven. They're counting on the Lord Jesus to go to heaven. And it's evidenced in peace. Number two, it's evidenced in prayer. The Bible said here, by whom we also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have access to the throne of God. Nobody had to tell me the night God saved me, all right, you can pray now. Oh, honey, I love talking to him. Say amen. We had access. God just opened up the window. Amen. He said, come on, talk to me. Tell me what you need. By the way, I already know what you have need of before you ask, but I want you to ask anyway. Want to know why? Listen, sometimes we know what our children and grandchildren need before they ever ask, but we love for them to say, mama, daddy, can I have this? Can I have that? Amen. My children, they use that, what do they call that, reverse psychology? That's what they did on me. They'd get in the store and they'd pick something up and say, daddy, I can't have this, can I? Oh, they're slick. But you know what? There's evidence, beloved. Peace. Prayer. If you look in verse number 2, in the end of the verse, the Bible said, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I don't know about you, but when Jesus saved me, didn't nobody say, now you need to praise the Lord. It was something I wanted to do. I wanted to praise Him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. Amen. That's evidence that a person got in. Amen. And then there's patience in verse number 3 and verse number 4. I remember one time I was working with Brother Houston here around the church, and I said, Brother Houston, pray for me. I needed to be somewhere. Somebody was sick, and I needed to go to the hospital, and whatever we was working on, it wasn't working. I said, pray for me, brother. I said, patience is not my strong suit, Brother Houston. I've noticed that about you.
There have been times I'd like to stick him in one of them cracks, Brother Rick, in that parking lot out there, amen, and tar over him, amen. But God does give us some patience. And the older I get, the more I get. I'm learning. It ain't worth it. Amen. And then what else does God do that heaven? He gives us power. This goes back to the message this morning. Declared to be the Son of God with power. Look at verse number 5. Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You say, Pastor, I just can't overcome this sin. Guess what? You're right. But He can. You can't do it by yourself. But He can. If He lives in your life, He can help you to overcome whatever that is. Then look at the expression of faith in Christ. You say, Pastor, what do you mean the expression? Well, in verse number 5, chapter number 5, and verse number 5, the Bible said, hope maketh not ashamed. I'm going to say something this morning. It's strong language, but I believe the Bible backs it up in more ways than one. If you're ashamed of Him, there's a problem. Years ago, there was a man got saved in Damascus, Virginia. He and his wife went to, I think at that time it was Silver Dollar City. Now I know how old you are. Amen. That was before it was Dollywood. It's the same place and of course got a lot bigger. He went there and man, I'm telling you, they was on fire for the Lord. They loved the Lord. They was faithful to church. They had one son. And I'm telling you, they went down there and they sat down. They always ask a blessing. Amen. At church, at home, they always ask a blessing over their food. They got down there and sat down at that table to eat that barbecue sandwich. They just looked at each other, started eating. You know what God did? He set a family down right in front of them. They took their hands, held hands, said, God, we thank you for our food. God rebuked him. He said, I'll never eat another bite of food, amen, without stopping to thank God. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen, we don't need to be ashamed of our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Don't need to be ashamed. Little boy had a dog. It wasn't much of a dog. It just looked like a mutt. Fella said, what kind of dog is that, son? He said, it's a police dog, mister. He said, son, it don't much look like a police dog. He said, he's in the Secret Service. That's where a lot of Christians are. They're in the Secret Service. They're afraid to speak a word for Christ. They're ashamed to speak a word for Christ. I say if you're ashamed of Him, shame on you. And you better be checking up. Because this Bible said, I quoted the Bible, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. That's what the Word of God said. This justification by faith. He was raised again for our justification. The father of our justification is Abraham. The foundation of our justification by faith is Jesus. Let me speak just hurriedly and briefly about the future of justification by faith. There's a future involved. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 8, would you please? Romans chapter number 8. We'll give you three things quickly. Number one, this future involves conformity. Did you know the Bible said, wait just a minute, see if I can get it started. I might have to turn to get it started. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Watch this. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me say this to you this morning. God said, don't be conformed to this world. Why? Because if you're saved, in the future, you're going to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Notice what the Bible said here. The Bible said in verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of His Son. You say, Pastor, what does that mean? Listen to 1 John chapter number 3. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall see Him
we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Does it excite you? Brother Preston, it excites me to know that one day I'll be like him. We ought to work at that as much as we possibly can right now. Say amen. Brother Billy Mitchell talked about striving, amen, to walk with God and to be like Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, one day the striving will be over. And I'm going to have a body like unto the Son of God. And I'm going to be like him. Conform. The future involves conformity. Not only that, the future involves conquering. Look in verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I read that verse last night and I thought about riding out of heaven with Jesus. When Jesus comes back, he's coming back for the church. And then he's coming back with the church. Or I should say, the church is coming back with him. He's going to be out in the lead and we're going to be riding behind him. You know what he's doing? He's going forth conquering and to conqueror. The Word of God didn't say we'd be conquerors. It said we'd be more than conquerors through him that loved us. That's exciting to me. And then let me give you this as I close the message today. Our future involves certainty. Think about verse number 38. Here's the word persuaded again. Abraham was persuaded in chapter number 4. Paul is persuaded in chapter number 8. He said, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't know if you're watching the news, and I believe, Brother Jason, like you preached that first message, you come here, I believe you can watch too much news. I also believe you cannot watch enough news. You ought to know what's going on. And I'm going to tell you something. You know what the news is telling me? The king's coming. This thing's a winding down, amen. But if you watch the news, you know that this world is full of uncertainty. I thought about, even before I got that text this morning, Brother Chris, I thought about that man behind enemy lines that I prayed for on the lawnmower yesterday. I'm going to tell you, you can say whatever you want to, Brother Vince, but there was a lot of uncertainty in that man's heart. Even with the military that were searching for him, there was a lot of uncertainty whether we're going to be able to pull this off or not. And there's a lot of uncertainty in the world today. But one thing is certain. If you have put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing, not one thing, that is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Bible said here he was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. And I don't know about you today, but that thrills me to know not only did he take my sin off of my account and put it on his, but he took his righteousness off of his account and put it on mine. My grandpa, I've told this before, he got to where he couldn't do much. He had a little cigar box about the size of that Bible right there, about the depth of that Bible, maybe just a little bit deeper. You ever seen one, a yellow cigar box? He got to where he couldn't cut wood, Brother David. Then he got to where he couldn't pick up cans. He would walk the road and pick up cans. And he got to where he couldn't do that. So he got him a little cigar box, and he had some rings and some watches and things like that on the inside. And he'd just go around different places and say, see anything in there you like? You know. He'd come down where we were working one day, and we were eating lunch outside the picnic tables. He pushed that cigar box across to me and he said, son, you see anything in there you like? And I opened it up and there was a pocket watch in there. I'd never owned a pocket watch.
But I'm going to tell you what. I looked at that thing and you could see the guts. That's what made it unique to me. You could see the thing working. Right through the face, you could see the guts working in that watch. I said, "Grandpa, I like that watch. It had a locomotive on the back of it. I mean, it was nice. It was gold in color. I'm sure it wasn't gold, but it was gold in color. Had a nice chain on it." I said, "Grandpa, what would you have to have for that watch?" He said, "Oh, son, I'd have to have $35 for that watch." And I didn't need that watch a bit more than a man in the moon, but I knew what my papa was doing. He was just trying to make him a little money. I said, "You know what? I think I'll just buy that watch." You'd have to know my papa. He said, "God burn. If I'd know just going to buy it, I'd have said more than $35. That's what he said. And so I took that watch. I bet I didn't carry it twice in 10 years. And about twice a year, whether I wanted to or not, I had to clean my dresser off. Do y'all understand what I just said? Whether I wanted to or not, junk would pile up. And so I'm cleaning my dresser off and I get that watch. By this time, my grandpa can't even carry the box around. He's in the house. He can't get out. He's on oxygen. He's in a recliner. I took that watch and I looked at it. I told Miss Eve, my wife, I said, "Honey, I'm going to take this and give it to Grandpa." Every time I saw him after I bought that watch, he'd say, "Son, you still got that watch?" I'd say, "Yeah, Grandpa, I still got it." My wife looked at me, Brother Junior, and she said, "Honey, he'll just sell it." I said, "I don't care what he does with it. I just want to make his day." And I took that watch down there to my grandpa. I said, "Grandpa," I said, "you remember that watch that you sold me?" "Yeah, son, I remember." I said, "Hold your hand out." And I laid that watch in his hand. It only been carried twice. It was just like it was the day that I bought it off of him. You say, "Pastor, why would you tell that?" Well, my grandpa, and I've got a little bit of it in me. My family's probably going to say, "No, it's more than a little bit." He liked to wheel and deal. Rusty, you got some in you. I done found that out. Amen. If you want you a good used car, you talk to Rusty. He'll find it. Amen. Amen. Make him give you a 90-day warranty. I said all that to say this. My grandpa liked to wheel and deal. But the best deal a person will ever make in this life is when we trade our sin for his righteousness. If you've done that, you're heaven bound with the hammer down. If you have put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus, then you are heaven bound with the hammer down. And if not, you need to. There's two kinds of people in the world, those that have been saved and those that need to be. Those that need to be saved. Where are you at this morning? Where are you at this Easter Sunday? If Jesus were to come today, would you be part of those that's going up? Or would you be part of those that's left behind? I don't know about you, but I've read about what's coming on this earth in the tribulation hour. I don't want to be left behind.
Amen.
I'm not going to be left behind because I'm going with Jesus. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity today to preach the gospel. Lord, you were delivered for our offenses. You were raised again for our justification. Lord, I thank you for that. Right now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to hearts as only you can. May the Holy Spirit of God do his office work in this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.